here. It's your own fault. He was granted power to give life to this icon of the beast. So that the icon of the beast, remember what icon means? It's an exact representation of an original. Like the coin, whose icon and inscription is this? Caesar's. Or Jesus Christ, he's the icon of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. It's an exact representation of an original. Like John F. Kennedy on a 50-cent piece. Or Eisenhower on a dollar. Is the image of the beast. He's exact representation of the original. Even in Nebuchadnezzar's day, they had one. And they forced everyone to bow down and worship it. Daniel chapter 3. Right? Everyone who doesn't fall down and worship the beast is going to be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Verse 16, he causes all, small, great, rich, poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one can buy or sell, save he that has the mark, the name of the beast, or the number of his name. He causes all to receive the mark. And this is how and why all the earth will wail when they see the Lord coming on the clouds. Because prior to that, all the people on planet Earth had a decision to make. And everyone guessed wrong. That is why the atheist and the agnostic and the scoffer and the unbeliever and the fence sitter looks up and they can't call on the name of the Lord because it's too late. Because once you take the mark of the beast, it's all over for you. There's no repentance from that. There's no turning back from that. They all guessed wrong because, like the Bible says, they were deceived into guessing wrong. They were deceived into guessing wrong. Now let's pick it up here, verse 7 of chapter 1. Behold, he's coming with the clouds. Or he's coming with clouds, or in the clouds. The definite article, T-H-E, is in this text, though. The clouds. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Meaning who? Jews. Or all of us. All the tribes of the earth will wail because of him. Then it says, even so, amen. Even that speaks volumes, doesn't it? Meaning, even so, meaning, sorry it's got to be this way. Even so, even though 4 billion people are going to look up and cry, the text says, even so, and then, so be it. Amen. So be it. This it is. 4 billion people are going to look up and wail. Even so. So be it. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. My Bible says, it says the Lord God, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. You have four different things he calls himself there. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Similar to saying, I am the A and A to Z, right? Beginning to the end. In the beginning was the Word. At the end will be the Word. I am also the great I am. Then he says, who is? Who is what? Nope, who is. And who was? The word was is an imperfect verb. Imperfect means you don't know. It means it has no beginning. You can't point to a time when it started. It's in the imperfect tense, meaning no one, it's always been there. There's no pointing to a beginning time. Like when it says, in the beginning was. The word was is an imperfect verb. Who is and who was and who is to come. Then it says, the Almighty. Greek word, panta kratos. Panta means all. Kratos means power and might. That's Almighty God. The El Shaddai in the Old Testament is Pantocrator in the New. How's that for a greeting, by the way? Now in verse 9, a sentence or two from the man that wrote all this down. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and hupomone of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, 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 what do you know? It seems that back in John's day, there was an intolerance for the word of God. Funny how some things never change, isn't it? There's an intolerance today for the word of God. Certainly in schools, this problem is rampant. But look on the other parts of the world today. Look how the Bibles have to be smuggled into countries like China and North Korea and Muslim countries. Why? Because there's an intolerance for the word of God today. That's why. What are they so afraid of? What are you so afraid of? The second thing that got John sent to a penal colony, an intolerance to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Look at how Jesus Christ is mocked in this country and how people are scorned. People like Tim Tebow, good example, and others who boldly give testimony of Jesus Christ. People in this country are routinely silenced for giving a testimony of Jesus Christ. If it's on film, it's snipped out and left on the cutting room floor. Again, I ask, what are people afraid of? Most secular PhDs today all agree that anything Jesus ever said was give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, and the people made up the rest. What are you afraid of? No, you see, this is a spiritual battle. And it's been going on for over 2,000 years now. The same thing that were happening in John's day are happening in our day. Except for one thing. They don't feed you to the lions. Now Jesus said this about the future. Matthew 24:9. He said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by everyone on account of my name. And then many will be offended. Or New American Standard says, then many will fall away from the faith and betray one another and hate one another. Which is why Jesus says, those who love their life will lose it. And those who hate their lives will keep it unto life eternal. It's John 12:25. Maybe you say, well, the rapture will come before all this, and this doesn't apply to me. Well, I have yet not to be instructed by the Lord to omit this portion of Scripture in teaching it to you. Imagine telling millions of Christians that have been martyred already that enduring tribulation doesn't apply to them. The Lord said, in this world, you will have tribulation. What's required of you is to hate your life like the Lord tells you and love God more. I know that's a lofty position, isn't it? How many people in here hate their lives the way Jesus intended it to be taken? One hand? Somebody? Does anyone hate their life in here? I fail at this verse. I'll tell you what, though, you go overseas, I'll bet you 99% of people pass this verse. When you go to Syria and Iraq and the Middle East, I'm still working on that. Satan says this about you. Skin for skin, exclamation point. All that a man has, he will give for his life. Satan thinks you are a weakling and will do anything to save your ever-loving hide until you prove him wrong. In the field of adversity. Now, back to verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience, or endurance, of Jesus Christ, I was on the island that is called Patmos on account of the word of God and on account of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. I can imagine, it must have sounded something like, Ego, Eimi, Ho, Alpha, Kai, Ho, Omega, Ho, Protos, Kai, Ho, Eschatos. That's what that would have sounded like to John. What you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia. To Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now this was not a dream. John was supernaturally transported out of the material world, awake, not sleeping. All right, now as for this reference to the Lord's Day, many early Christian writings use this terminology, and we believe this refers to Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection, not the historic day of the Lord, like the judgment day. Early Christians used this term, the Lord's Day, for Sunday. That's what we believe this means by this. As at the Lord's resurrection, everything changed. This is when the church changed their holy day from the seventh day to the first day of the week after the resurrection. Sunday, the first day of the week, is the Lord's day. He owns it. And in verse 11, the Lord says this to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches. Now, there were certainly more than seven churches in Asia. How about Colossae or Hierapolis? There was lots of churches there in Asia. But it's perfect. These seven were right next to Patmos, where John was at. And all seven fall in like a perfect line, like the first three. If you have a good Bible, look at the maps. Look at the last map in the back of your Bible. And you'll see it, like the first three go up, and then the next four all go down in a row. Verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, was one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. What an awesome description this is. The white represents purity. His eyes like a flame of fire, according to John MacArthur, is like two laser beams shooting out of his face, penetrating your very soul. Fine brass, strength. Many are rushing waters like the surf crashing against the rocks, is authority. He had in his right hand seven stars. Notice too how unrecognizable Jesus was after his resurrection. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Imagine seeing this. The Apostle John saw this. Look at his response to seeing this. New American Standard. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. What an important lesson here to be learned. This is the legitimate response of the person that's just seen God. Isaiah saw him in Isaiah 6, and he fell on his face and cried out and said, woe is me, for I'm ruined. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Anything short of that church is too much linguine. Now, what I mean by that, for those that don't understand my joke or sarcasm here, is eating too much spicy food before you go to sleep at night. will cause you to see the Lord too. And then run for the Alka-Seltzer. Because the proper response to seeing the Lord brings you onto your knees to cry out, I'm ruined, I've seen God. At least that's what happens to everyone in the Bible. Here today, for $24.95, you can read anything. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry goes to heaven now and then comes back, and for $24.95, you can buy everything that they've seen. Truly, when you see Jesus and those laser beam eyes penetrate yours, man, oh man, I'll tell you what, that's when you take off your shoes like Moses did. As God said to him, you are on holy ground. You don't sell what you saw to Amazon. You fall on your face like a dead man. And now here's Jesus' response to his old friend. He laid his right hand on me saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades or hell and death. More on this later. As he says this again in a later chapter too. He said, I've got the keys. I've got the keys of hell and death. Now, keys can either lock things or unlock them, right? The Lord Jesus says he's got the very keys to hell itself. And he has the power and authority to use those keys to unlock the door and let you out of hell forever. Or he has the keys along with the power and the authority to lock the very door of hell and lock you in. Can you imagine that? Or at least locked in until it's showtime, when everything in hell is going to have to come out and stand before Jesus Christ and be made to pay for everything that they've done? Because Hades is not permanent. Revelation 20 says everyone in its hell is going to be spit out, same as what's his name, in the whale, and is going to be spit out and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everyone that's in hell is going to come out. Everyone buried and lost at sea is going to come out. The sea gives up the dead that are in it. Death and hell give up the dead that are in it. And everyone is going to stand before the judgment seat of. Even hell is not permanent. Or at least we should say Hades is not permanent. Paul wrote this to the Thessalonian church. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those that trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those that don't know God or on those that don't obey the gospel. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those that believe. Because our testimony among you was believed. That's why he's on the island of Patmos, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual war that's going on. The demons in hell are trying to silence you from telling people about the man in the glory. And they'll do anything to have your car not start, whatever it takes. So let me ask the question while I still can. Will the Lord unlock the gates of death for you? Or will he turn that key as you hear the tumbler click and lock you into hell until the day of judgment? Can you imagine that? Now here's the last few verses of chapter 1. Write these things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place thereafter. Probably the most important verse in the entire book is this one here to help you understand. Write the things which, number one, you have seen. That is up to this point. Number two, the things which are. That is, these letters to the seven churches starting next week. And number three, the things which shall be. That's chapters 4 through 22, the end of the book. As John, in the Spirit, is carried away into the future. It's a threefold division of Revelation. The things you have seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Now this word angel, the Greek word angelos, means messenger. Also can mean pastor. We'll get to that next week when we get to this first letter to the church. But I leave you today with this important question. Will the Lord Jesus set you free from the gates of hell and unlock the door? Or will he turn that old lock and confine you to hell? Because he's got the keys and the power and the authority. The charge against all of you is this. God loves you. God loves you. That's the charge against you. You see, Satan has blinded the minds of everyone to not understand. God doesn't hold you in condemnation. God loves you. That's the charge. What do you do? Receive it? I hope so. I know everyone here has. You can either refuse the love, or number two, you can agree with God that you're a sinner and confess your need of a Savior and receive his love. It's a shocking thing to see that everyone, when they see Jesus return, they're going to wail and not rejoice because the people have been snowed and they've been deceived. And I want you to see, the charge against all of you is that God loves you. And someone was condemned in your place. His name is Jesus. You can either refuse that love or agree with God that you are a sinner. Look at what happens in here for refusing love. 2 Thessalonians. Let me read it to you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive love and the love of the truth so that they might be saved. People die and perish at the end of the age for refusing the love of Jesus Christ.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
My light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love